admired greatly. One occasion in his lesson said, "I'm proud of my children." At the end of the service, one of the ladies corrected him and said, "Brother Dixon, you should say, 'I'm thankful for my children,' instead of saying, 'I'm proud of them.'" And so that night he got up and he said, "I have a correction to make. I am thankful that I am proud of my children." I think that is probably the attitude that many of us have this morning. As I look around the auditorium, I see so many of the families sitting together. The most important seat in the building this morning to me is the seventh one from the front in the center. 10, my family sitting on it. I'm certainly among men well blessed and so appreciative that all my immediate family is here this morning. We're grateful that each of you is here. Hosea, in talking about Ephraim and Judah, in Hosea 6:4 said, "Thy goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that goeth away." We have not exhausted all that the Bible has to say about clouds. And this morning, use this passage as a text as we study the subject of morning cloud goodness. I think all of us here this morning have had the experience sometime or another of getting up in the morning and finding that there is a heavy fog, that it is impossible to see but a few feet because of that cloud or that fog that is there, only to discover that a few minutes later it is completely gone. I think all of us have had the experience of getting up in the morning and walking out in the grass and getting our feet wet because of the early morning dew, or the dew that's there in the early morning, only to discover when we walk through that same grass just a few minutes later that it's as dry as it can be. That's the image that Hosea is using as he speaks for God to Ephraim and Judah, commending them for their goodness and yet criticizing them because they have morning cloud goodness. Perhaps the parable of the sower includes two ideas that fit the case before us. You remember the sower went forth to sow, and some of the seed fell on rocky ground and did not take root very much, maybe for a little while, but then as things came about, the plants began to wilt because they did not have the roots that they ought to have. Whereas there were other seed that fell in the area where there were thorns and other things that would choke them out so that they really did not get to grow very much. The idea was they started, but they did not continue. That's the same thing as morning cloud goodness. A passage that gives us just the opposite of that is Galatians 6, 9, and 10. "Be not weary in well-doing," and the New King James Version says, "Don't faint in doing well. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Verse 9 indicates that we should not place limits on goodness as far as time is concerned. Keep on. Be not weary in well-doing. And verse 10 says we should not place limits on goodness scope-wise. Do good unto all men. The summation of those two verses is simply to say, do good to all people all the time. Do your best to be of service to all people all the time as long as you live. And that's just the opposite of what is said in Hosea 6:4 about morning cloud goodness. Don't you think it's possible that sometimes we have morning cloud goodness? And if we're honest with ourselves and focus in on the season before us and then put it in focus with the rest of the year, we can understand what we're saying. In times of war, both sides may agree to cease fire for Christmas Day. They're going to be good to each other for a day. I've always wondered why two sides, even two nations, at odds with one another and in a battle with each other, if they could stop for one day out of respect for the situation, why could they not stop and talk the other days and work things out? They had morning cloud goodness. There are instances where employees will criticize the boss for 364 days a year and give him a Christmas present on Christmas Day. There are times that people who are at odds with one another will at least have a better feeling toward one another at this time of the year than throughout the year. There's something about this season of the year, and thank God for whatever that is, that causes us to emphasize goodness and to maybe show goodness and have feelings and attitude of goodness in a way that we do not have it the rest of the year. I believe that when that happens, we have the morning cloud goodness that Hosea was talking about in that passage that we noted. He said, your goodness is like the morning cloud. Think about all that's happened to us in the last two or three days and shall happen to us today. Think about all the goodness that's there, all the good things that are there. How long will that continue? Will we let that same attitude characterize our thinking for the entirety of 1994? Will we try to learn from the good things that are happening right now and then magnify those and reach out to have even more good things and better things in the days that are ahead? Or will we just emphasize goodness at this time of the year, and then tomorrow or next day when we go back to work, and a few days when you younger ones go back to school, will we forget those attitudes that are there? It is good to have a season where goodness is emphasized, but it is better to have a life where goodness is exercised. You know, if you have a big check coming in once a year, it may not be enough, but if you have a much smaller check coming in every week or every month, as your type of payment for work may be, if it's there on a regular basis, you know how meaningful that is. You know there's something coming on a regular basis that you can count on. May not be as much as you would like. It may not be as much as somebody else has. But if you know it's there today and tomorrow and next week and next month, then you have some assurance and you have a feeling of security that you cannot find in many places. And if we could know that our goodness shown one toward another is there not only yesterday on Christmas Day and this week throughout the Christmas and New Year's season, but that it's going to be there. And we know that in the family circle and at the business and at school and in the community, and yes, even in the church, that there's going to be that feeling of goodwill and interest on the part of everybody. What a wonderful world it would be. For just a few minutes, think about some specific areas where this idea applies. I believe that there is a tendency on the part of all of us to have morning cloud goodness at the wedding and then not carry it through in the marriage. During the period of courtship and engagement, it seems that it's just not possible for each of the two that are falling in love and have fallen in love to do enough for one another. And on that wedding day and during the honeymoon and maybe the little while that's after that, each one is so interested in pleasing the other. There's so much goodness that's being shown. And yet, sometimes a little bit later, that's not the case. We forget that after the wedding comes the marriage. And even those of us that have been married for several years sometimes take too many things for granted and do not show the goodness to those who that we say mean more to us than anybody else in the world. The same kind of goodness that we were showing even before we were married to one another. Somebody said the definition of a honeymoon is the time between I do and you'd better. And there may be too much truth in that. When Jesus was talking about the marriage relationship in Matthew 19, What God has joined together, let not man put asunder, and emphasizing the permanence of it. I don't think he was just emphasizing the endurance factor, but also the enjoyment factor in that relationship. The same thing may be true as far as the birth of a new baby is concerned. A new baby is born in the family, and everybody, including aunts and cousins you didn't know you had, are there to see that new bundle of joy, what he looks like, and especially those first few days, everybody's just so interested. And then a few days later, with some of the activities that are involved with caring for a newborn, we may begin to back off a bit. And especially when that child gets to those terrible twos, it's even harder for dad and mother to have the goodness shown that ought to be. And as one grows to the teenage years, when there is probably a need for concern and interest and encouragement more than any other time in that child's life, even as parents sometimes, we may not be as good and may not show the goodness and give the encouragement and have the interest that we had that day that the baby was born and we saw that little bundle of joy for the first time. Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And I don't know exactly how long that up is, but I believe that most of us tend to make mistakes relative to morning cloud goodness when it comes to the rearing of children. Then look at another area for a moment where there's sickness and death. And I would preface this point by saying that I know of few, if any, congregations that have more interest in this area of thought. And I'm so thankful for all the goodness that is shown. But there is a tendency, if we're not careful, to go and be with the family while somebody is in surgery, when the person who is in surgery doesn't even know what's going on, and then forget to go back when that person needs our words of encouragement. We may even do well visiting while the person is in the hospital, but then this person comes home. And I realize circumstances have changed, and maybe there is a difference in our approach, but is there a difference in the need for goodness and encouragement? Just a telephone call, a letter, a card, a short visit, whatever it is. Sometimes it's on down the line 3 or 4 weeks later that that person really needs goodness shown. We may even forget to put them in the announcements, as we did the day before surgery and the day after surgery. And there's a death. And here again, I'm so thankful for all the expressions of kindness and goodness that's shown by people one to another in times like this. But you know, sometimes it's 3 or 4 weeks later when the survivor goes through those moments of shock that he's in need or she's in need of some encouragement and some goodness more than the day of the death or the day of the funeral. And I can be just as guilty as you. If we're not careful, we can forget these needs, and we have morning cloud goodness that's there for a specific period of time, and then somehow or other, as a little time goes by, with the needs maybe increasing, our interest tends to decrease in visiting the sick and showing interest in those that are in need of encouragement along these lines. We sometimes do the same thing with new converts. We will drive several miles, spend many hours, at least 4 or 5 weeks, to study with a person about becoming a Christian. The person decides to be baptized into Christ. We may even pick up the phone and call several families to meet us at the church building if it's a time other than our services. We assist that person in being baptized into Christ. We rejoice. We sing for several minutes and then go our ways and sometimes forget that new babe in Christ, who is a baby in one sense of the word and needs encouragement. Even the Great Commission emphasizes the teaching after conversion as well as the teaching before conversion. And the admonition and encouragement that we need to give to one another is needed so much then. Many times what happens is the person who has learned about Christ and is converted to Christ and is enthusiastic and on fire has little interest shown, and that fire begins to wane. And a few weeks later, things are different. I think sometimes, folks, we tend to have morning cloud goodness. And even within the church, when there are problems in our lives, and all of us have them, and when a word of encouragement is needed so much, we have a tendency to show so much concern, so many of us, when there is the immediate problem, and then forget the person involved as days go by. Morning cloud goodness. If we even looked at the work of the church, we would see this principle involved. How many times do we get excited about a program of work and maybe get it off the ground and then do not carry it through and wind up with a picture somewhat like Luke 14:28 of the man who did not count the cost and started the building and just left it, a part of it out there without finishing it? We need emphasis on continued involvement. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you are rooted and grounded and faithful, he says. Even describing Jesus in Acts 1, 1 through 2. He said, I'm talking about what Jesus began both to do and to teach and continued until the day in which he was taken up. You remember that statement about Jesus? He went about doing good. He practiced the scope that we were talking about to all people, and he practiced it all the time. Maybe somebody different today from whom he was serving yesterday, but always looking for the needs and always looking to give a word of encouragement, whether it be the little child that he brought to his lap or the older person that needed his help. He went about doing good, and he continued that good until he was taken up. Even after his death, until he was taken up. He didn't have morning cloud goodness. And Paul, in talking to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:6, said, I'm persuaded that God, which hath begun this good work in you, will continue it until the day of the Lord. He was saying what I'm trying to say to us this morning, that the work of God, the work of goodness, is not something that's seasonal. It's not something that is just for a season. It's not something that's just for a specific period of time. It's not something that we start and then stop. It's something that's day in and day out, keeping on, keeping on. As the bumper sticker says, keep on trucking in doing goodness. I appreciate all the goodness that's done at this time of the year, but it's hard to appreciate it in lives where you see it only at this time of the year. And certainly we ought to appreciate goodness that's done about anything to anybody at any time. But that morning cloud goodness that's done today and then we begin to sort of wander away from it is not the kind of goodness that God wants. God wants the goodness that's there today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year if time continues. At least where we're all somewhat like the mother who sits by the bed of the sick child, maybe with one eye closed, getting a wink here and a wink there, but ready to jump when there's an indication that the child needs her. And ready to do that tonight and tomorrow night and the next night if it's needed because of the love and the ties that are there. There's goodness that's there that continues and continues and continues. God said through Hosea, Judah and Ephraim, I don't like what I see. For your goodness is as the morning cloud and as the early dew that goeth away. May God help us that our goodness is not like that. But that we are thankful for all the good things we have and then use those today and every day of life. Realizing that that's what Christianity is about. That it's doing good to serve our fellow men and to serve God. And I'm not for sure, folks, that we could study a more important subject than this one as we draw 1993 to a close. We need goodness, but not just morning cloud goodness, goodness that continues, that's in our hearts. We need to go about doing good as Jesus went about doing good, to every person whom we can serve, and as long as there is a need. And that need will be there as long as there are people. I think even the invitation of Jesus itself fits into the subject before us this morning. You see, when Jesus is asking people to come to him, confess his name, be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, and be added to him, he's asking people, come to Christ and live for Christ and be good. You cannot mention to me this morning one thing that's good that God asks you to give up. He asks you to bring all that goodness with you into Christ and use it. And even as we encourage wayward children of God to come back home, we're dealing with a subject. We're encouraging you not to continue in the direction where you have quit and are going away, but to come back and serve God regularly and faithfully every day. Not morning cloud goodness, but continued goodness every day of the year. That's what Christianity is about. And that's the type of Christianity to which the invitation of Christ calls you as together we stand and sing.